Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Athena Strand. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Athena Presley Monroe Strand was born on May 23, 2015, and lived in Paradise, Texas. This small town is 66 miles west of Dallas. Her father, Jacob Strand, and her mother, Maitlin Gandy, were divorced and shared custody of Athena. After the divorce, Jacob married a woman named Elizabeth. By the fall of 2022, Athena was a first grader at Paradise Elementary School. She loved mermaids, unicorns, horseback riding, princess dresses, the color pink, and the movie Frozen. Athena was described as bright, loving, free, wild, and the type of child who lit up every room she entered. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On November 30, 2022, at 6:41 p.m., Athena Strand's stepmother, Elizabeth Strand, called 911 and reported that Athena was missing from their home on County Road 3573 in Paradise, Texas. The police arrived 15 minutes later. Elizabeth told officers that she had last saw Athena at 5:45 p.m. Athena was inside a converted storage shed that was temporarily serving as her bedroom while the main residence was being renovated by her father, Jacob. Elizabeth went inside the main residence to cook dinner. She returned to the shed about 20 to 30 minutes later to tell Athena dinner was ready, but Athena was not there. Elizabeth searched the area without success. At 6:22 p.m., she called her sister and brother-in-law who lived on the adjacent property and asked them if Athena was at their residence. They said no, then joined in the search. When Elizabeth called Jacob, who was driving near San Antonio, he told her to call 911. Law enforcement conducted a large-scale search of the area, but they did not find Athena. The police learned that a white 2019 GMC box truck, which was being operated for FedEx Ground by a contractor, had made a delivery to Athena's home around the time she went missing. It was a package of six Barbie dolls, Athena's Christmas gift. The driver was identified as a 31-year-old man named Tanner Lynn Horner. The police spoke to Tanner on December 1, the day after Athena went missing. Tanner said that he saw a green van leaving the Strand property. He then started crying, saying he could not believe something like this would happen and that he had his own child. On December 2, 2022, the authorities obtained video that was recorded by a camera mounted inside the truck Tanner was driving. He could be seen on November 30 inside the vehicle with Athena Strand. As Tanner drove the vehicle, Athena repeatedly asked him, "Are you a kidnapper?" Eventually, Tanner covered the camera, but the audio was still recording. Over an hour after the kidnapping started, he could be heard attacking Athena and killing her. The police interviewed Tanner again. He said that during the delivery to the Strand property, he accidentally backed the truck into Athena. She was not seriously injured, but he panicked anyway, fearful about losing his job. He listened to a voice in his head that said, "Grab her," which is what he did. He placed Athena in the truck. Tanner identified this voice as belonging to an entity named Zero, like an alternate personality. He said that Zero kind of took over. While they were in the vehicle, Athena told Tanner that she was going to tell her father about him striking her with a truck. Tanner claimed this statement led to Zero taking control. First, Tanner tried to break her neck, but he was not successful. He then strangled Athena in the back of the truck. He placed all the blame on Zero as the one responsible for the homicide, saying, "I tried to stop all this from happening." At this point, Tanner pretended to transform into Zero. His demeanor shifted. He turned his head sideways and he rolled his eyes. The police played along with him, knowing this was probably the best way to get the information they needed. While playing the role of Zero, Tanner directed the police to Athena's body. She was in the Trinity River off Farm to Market Road 51, about 12 miles from her home. Athena had sustained several blunt force injuries, as well as abrasions and contusions. Her cause of death was listed as blunt force injuries with smothering and strangulation. As the interview with Tanner continued, he made various statements about his mental health. For example, Tanner claimed that he was not a psychopath and was not a criminal. and he claimed he would move to the back seat when Zero took over. He would sometimes wake up and not remember how he ended up there. Tanner attempted to negotiate with the police. He said that he would tell them everything about the homicide if he could spend a month with his family so he could have Christmas with his son. Not surprisingly, his offer was rejected. On the same day as his interview, December 2, 2022, Tanner Horner was arrested and charged with capital murder and kidnapping. His trial started on April 7, 2026. On the first day of the trial, Tanner pleaded guilty to both charges. With his guilt now established, there was no need for the guilt-innocence phase of the trial. The court moved on to the penalty phase. Only two sentencing options were available for Tanner: life in prison without the possibility of parole, or the death penalty. The jury was required to answer two questions: did Tanner represent a continuing threat to society, and is there enough mitigating evidence to warrant life without parole instead of death? Essentially, by providing the answers to these questions, the jury would recommend either life or death. The prosecution argued that Tanner committed an unthinkably horrible offense from which there was no redemption. What's more, he was deceptive, cold, calculating, manipulative, and brutal. Tanner's defense argued that he had a number of mental disorders, his mother used drugs when she was pregnant with him, and he had 24 times the normal amount of lead in his bones. They didn't argue that any particular mental disorder or condition caused him to kill Athena. Rather, his symptoms represented a mitigating factor. Tanner was at a massive disadvantage in life. He was doomed from the start. On May 5, 2026, the jury determined that Tanner did represent a continuing threat, and there was not enough mitigating evidence to warrant life in prison. The judge sentenced Tanner Horner to death. In Texas, death sentences receive automatic review by the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. It will take several years for Tanner to be executed if all his appeals are unsuccessful. The average time on death row before execution in Texas is 11 years. Based on that, Tanner's execution would be in 2037 at the age of 46. Now moving to my analysis. Tanner Horner was born in 1991 and had a pretty challenging start to his life. His mother, Melissa, testified that she met his father, Terry, while she was working as a clothing challenge dancer. She said that Terry conducted an assault of a sexual nature against her on the night they first met. Despite this, they became romantically involved, married, and eventually had Tanner. Melissa testified that she was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder and used heroin, methamphetamine, marijuana, and consumed excessive quantities of alcohol. She used drugs even while pregnant with Tanner. Melissa claimed that she was arrested a few times for sex work and drug use. Tanner's father, Terry, had a history of depression. Another relative stated that Terry spent 90% of his adult life in prison. Melissa said that 2 years earlier, Terry was killed by a lady on a motorcycle. When Tanner was young, he had difficulty interacting with people and was bullied in school. Various witnesses at his trial shared information about Tanner's behavior and characteristics. Here are a few examples. Tanner would obsessively eat coins, like loose change. He had bursts of energy. He was hyper almost to the point of aggression. Tanner often played by himself. He had trouble with communication and empathy. His ability to recognize social cues was compromised. Tanner's cognitive abilities were limited. He could not understand humor or boundaries. He had a learning disability and was in special education. And Tanner was immature and socially inappropriate. Mental health clinicians who testified during the penalty phase had a few different theories about what mental disorders Tanner had. He was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, bipolar disorder, ADHD, generalized anxiety disorder, PTSD, and fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. There was some disagreement among the clinicians about that last disorder. Tanner was angry, sadistic, and had both antisocial and borderline traits, but not the corresponding personality disorders. Notably absent from any diagnostic profile was dissociative identity disorder. None of the clinicians believed that Tanner had an alternate personality named Zero. With this testimony in mind, Did the jury reach a conclusion in the penalty phase that was supported by the evidence? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that the death penalty is warranted, starting with the factors that support this theory. Two women and one man accused Tanner of committing horrible offenses against them years before he murdered Athena. This makes it seem like the attack on Athena fell into a pattern of destructiveness that existed for some time. Tanner set out from the beginning to kidnap Athena. This was a premeditated crime. He covered the camera in his truck twice in the days leading up to the murder, and again on the day of the murder. The murder was unbelievably heinous. Tanner, a 250-pound man, beat and strangled Athena, a 67-pound girl. Athena suffered tremendously in the last moments of her life. Both before and after being arrested, Tanner was deceptive. He tried to escape responsibility, even manufacturing a non-existent alternate personality named Zero. On the day after the murder, Tanner searched for images of Athena and typed in the search terms "Paradise Missing Girl" and "Do FedEx Truck Cameras Constantly Record?" On the same day, multiple parked vehicles blocked his path as he was near the Strand property making deliveries. When he told a woman there were people in his way, she explained to him that a 7-year-old had been taken. He responded, "Are you serious?" Now moving to the factors that contradict the theory that the death penalty is warranted. Tanner had a pretty rough life filled with horrible mistreatment, disastrously poor role models, mental disorders, and behavioral problems. He was isolated, bullied, forgotten, exposed to lead, raised in chaos, surrounded by addiction, treated like an afterthought, and he consumed coins like a vending machine during a middle school lunch rush. Arguably, Tanner did not receive effective mental health counseling. He had some treatment, but was largely left to deal with the symptoms on his own. When considering all the evidence in this case, is the death penalty warranted? I don't support the death penalty personally, but looking at this from the responsibility that the jury took on when they agreed to serve, yes, they came to the correct conclusion based on the evidence. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Tanner Horner was self-centered, angry, aggressive, impulsive, irresponsible, violent, socially awkward, excitement-seeking, naive, nefarious, cold, callous, had poor critical thinking skills, had a sense of entitlement, and was exceedingly creepy. After seeing Athena while on his delivery route, he started fantasizing about her, which led to his decision to carry out the murder. Tanner knew the difference between right and wrong. He realized that he was committing one of the most horrible crimes imaginable. He knew, or should have known, that he would be facing the death penalty if he was caught. Tanner thought that he could escape the consequences of his crime by fabricating an alternate personality named Zero. It's also possible that he fabricated this identity because he was too ashamed to admit the details of the crime. Like, Zero could tell the police what happened, but Tanner didn't really know. He wanted someone else to blame, a magical entity that took over his body. Tanner was by no means a master criminal. He video recorded a significant portion of his offense. Even when he finally decided to cover the camera, the audio was still recording. The entire crime was fairly well documented by the perpetrator. Being able to hear the murder gave the prosecution a significant advantage in securing the death penalty. They argued there was nothing that could mitigate a crime this heinous. If Tanner did not qualify for execution, why even have the death penalty? The jury agreed with this logic. The defense did not have much to work with. Many of the witnesses did not really deliver effective testimony in favor of Tanner. Many of them appeared to be afraid to connect his mental disorders with violence. I guess the fear here was hurting other people with those same mental disorders, like contributing to a stigma. But the witnesses could have framed the association in a way that avoided this problem. For instance, they could have said that in Tanner's specific case, certain mental health symptoms may have contributed to his behavior. That doesn't mean it would affect everyone in the same way. Even if the witnesses had used this tactic, I doubt it would have changed the jury's decision. Tanner was not coming back from a crime like this. His fate was sealed. His situation was hopeless from the moment he killed Athena. I find it curious that Tanner selected the name Zero for his fabricated alternate personality. This makes me think of Absolute Zero, the lowest theoretically possible temperature, negative 459.67 degrees Fahrenheit. There is a parallel here to Tanner's situation. The level of mercy that he would get from a jury was absolute zero. He now occupies a cold, lonely, and dark void from which there is no escape. Those are my thoughts on the case of Athena Strand. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.